Hope will only come now when we physically defy the violence of the state. All who resist, all who are here today, keep hope alive. All who succumb to fear, despair, and apathy become an enemy of hope. They become, in their passivity, agents of injustice. If the enemies of hope are finally victorious in this nation, the poison of violence will become not only the language of power, but the language of opposition. And those who resist here today with nonviolence are the last thin line of defense between a civil society and its disintegration.
I've been out of the military now for 2.5 years, and I've been speaking out ever since. And today, I just felt that it's time for me to take a stand. You know, risk arrest, whatever, my brothers and sisters. Why today? I can't sit idle anymore. I just can't sit by anymore and let these atrocities continue.
Tell me about your experience in the military.
I was with the 10th Mountain Division in Fort Drum, New York, deployed August of 06 with the initial surge. I was injured by an IED, a roadside bomb, October of 06 during Ramadan. Came back stateside through the countries and stuff to get rehabilitation, deployed back wounded.
A lot of young people, a lot of current veterans, I'm sorry, and then soldiers, the immunity
veterans. That's it.
Tell me how difficult it was to take this road.
Very difficult. Very difficult, but very easy at the same time, because I have these supporters right here beside me that are not going to be moved as well.
Hope has a cost. Hope is not comfortable or easy. Hope requires personal risk. It is not about the right attitude or peace of mind. Hope is action. Hope is doing something. The more futile, the more useless, the more irrelevant and incomprehensible an act of rebellion is, the vaster and more potent hope becomes. Hope never makes sense. Hope is weak, unorganized, and absurd. Hope, which is always nonviolent, exposes in its powerlessness the lies, fraud, and coercion employed by the state. Hope knows that an injustice visited on our neighbor is an injustice visited on all of us.
Well, I served a tour in 04, 05 in Iraq as an infantryman. I knew that there was nothing good or noble or true about that war when I went over. And I did things that I'll never forgive myself for doing. And I can't go back. I did my job. I'm an infantryman. I knew that those were just people trying to defend their homes, and that we were in the wrong being there. And you can't come home from that and not need to do something to make a difference. You can't live knowing that you took human life and not need to come back and try to change that system that put you in a position to do that.
What difference will getting arrested make?
Well, this is... there's only so much you can do. There's a whole lot of power, but when you put your body on the line and you say that you won't let this happen anymore, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen, you make a statement. And for me, it's something spiritual. I've never been arrested before, and I'm really looking forward to actually doing that, to standing there and saying no. I didn't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up when I knew I should have refused to serve in Iraq.
They say get back.
Hope posits that people are drawn to the good by the good. This is the secret of hope's power. Hope demands for others what we demand for ourselves. Hope does not separate us from them. Hope sees in our enemy our own face. Hope is not for the practical and the sophisticated, the cynics and the complacent, the defeated and the fearful. Hope is what the corporate state, which saturates our airwaves with lies, seeks to obliterate. Hope is what this corporate state is determined to crush. Be afraid, they tell us. Surrender your liberties to us so we can make the world safe from terror. Don't resist. Embrace the alienation of our cheerful conformity. Buy our products. Without them, you are worthless. Become our brands. Do not look up from your electronic hallucinations, no. Above all, do not think. Obey.
Why have you chosen to go to jail now?
I was honored to just realize that the veterans were going to lead this action. I was very pleased to see that. As a veteran myself, I know that people here understand that this war is as hopeless and wrong as the war we participated in Vietnam, and that it's not going to end by a presidential initiative. It'll only be because the American public have awakened to their responsibilities and to the realities of this war. Now, Bradley Manning has helped bring us home to the, if he is the source of the WikiLeaks documents. The 15,000 civilian dead in the Afghan war, in the Iraq warlords that were revealed that had not been reported in the news press, are five 9/11s that the Pentagon was counting, contrary to their denials, but not reporting.
The idea of helping the people of Iraq was the driving factor for me going there. And then once occupying their country and doing consistent raids and pulling their homes apart, and watching essentially being in that country for 5 years and watching the infrastructure degrade instead of improve, it was kind of a sharp realization so that there was nothing that was actually going on benefiting the people of Iraq by any means. In fact, consistent night raids, checkpoints, and harassment was the daily routine for what we were doing to the people of Iraq. And I don't think from a moral standpoint that anybody that understands that would not be in opposition to that, to the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan.
The American people haven't yet responded to that very much. A problem here is what I would call a big lie, Joseph Goebbels' kind of big lie, which is more easily believed than a little one, which is that these wars are protecting American citizens here at home. I expect that our president will sometime today tell us that he's keeping troops in Afghanistan, that he's not proposing yet to have significant withdrawals at the middle of this year, which he earlier promised, because those troops are protecting Americans at home. He said that to him in Afghanistan. Well, I can kind of excuse a president saying to troops in the field that he's sent into harm's way wrongly, that they're doing a good job and they're protecting their folks back home, even when it's not true. I can understand him saying that and to their families. But if he looks us in the eye today in the television camera and blows that smoke at us and tells us that the troops in Afghanistan, hard for me not to say Vietnam or Vietnamistan, when he tells us that those troops are protecting us at home, that's not just false, that's the opposite of the truth. By creating universal hostility to us in the Muslim world by wrongful killing of Muslim civilians and Arabs and perhaps someday Iranians, he's recruiting for Al-Qaeda. He's giving aid and comfort to Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar.
Tell me about how you came to oppose the war from being a participant in one.
I came opposed to it. I was deployed to Iraq twice. And once you've been there, you realize that we're not doing any good for those people. Just because we throw them some water and some blankets every now and then when we go out on convoys doesn't make up for the fact that we're killing them day and night on a daily basis for no reason whatsoever. And once you come to that realization, it becomes pretty clear that this is where you need to be and these are the kind of stands you need to take.
The powerful do not understand hope. Hope is not part of their vocabulary. They speak in the cold, dead words of national security, global markets, electoral strategy, staying on message, image, and money. The powerful protect their own. They divide the world into the damned and the blessed, the patriots and the enemy, the privileged and the weak. They insist that extinguishing lives in foreign wars or in our prison complexes is a form of human progress. They cannot see that the suffering of a child in Kandahar or a child in the blighted urban pocket of our nation's capital diminishes and impoverishes us all. They are deaf, dumb, and blind to hope. Those addicted to power, enthralled by self-exaltation, cannot decipher the words of hope any more than most of us can decipher hieroglyphics. Hope to Wall Street bankers and politicians, to the masters of war and commerce, is not practical. It is gibberish. It means nothing. And this is because they kneel before the idols of greed and money. If we resist and carry out acts, no matter how small, of open defiance, hope will not be extinguished. If all we accomplish today is to assure a grieving mother in Baghdad or Afghanistan, a young man or woman crippled physically and emotionally by the hammer blows of war, that he or she is not alone, our act will be successful. But hope cannot be sustained if it cannot be seen. Any act of rebellion, any physical defiance of those who make war, of those who perpetuate corporate greed and are responsible for state crimes, anything that seeks to draw the good to the good, nourishes our souls and holds out the possibility that we can touch and transform the souls of others. Hope affirms that which we must affirm. And every act that imparts hope is a victory in itself. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies. Yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out. Wherever the just exchange their messages, may I, composed like them of eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. Thank you.
How you doing?
I've been in jail before, but I never tried to get arrested. That was all when I was a foreign correspondent. This is the first time I sort of figured that that was an inevitability here.
Because you've been talking about it.
Yeah.
And so you had to make a decision. Why now? Why here?
Because it's all we have left at this point.
That's right.
The mechanisms, the normal mechanisms by which democratic participation are rendered possible in this country have been closed shut. And if we don't do this, we die. This is what's left of hope in this country. This right here today.
Stop in the report is another problem. A lack of public support. A new opinion poll suggests that 60% of Americans think this, the longest conflict in American history, is no longer worth fighting.